Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Pie in the Sky Media. This series contains adult language and descriptions of graphic violence throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back, Criminal Mischief Nation. Sorry for the lateness of the episode, but yours truly spent a rollicking weekend in Miami Beach. And I still can't see straight, so you'll have to forgive me. I know I'm golden tan and just really jumping off the screen right now. But, you know, hey, it's hard out here for a pimp. So
it is hard as hell.
I'm kidding. I was in Miami and I barely left the hotel.
I'm singing the song.
I barely left the hotel. You know why? Knowing me, why do you think I barely left the hotel?
Because you were working?
No, because there was probably the best spa that I've ever been in my life. And I
know you told me, and I was so
I just stayed hot and like wet the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time.
You know, that's something that we actually have in common. Because that's my favorite.
Amazing. It was amazing.
I know, you're glistening.
It was the steam room that also had the chain pull cold shower in the steam room.
Yeah.
So when you think you gotta say uncle and go out and catch your breather, you don't have to. You just ice down in that shower and go right back into the pain. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. I took some time off to go and check out the eclipse, which was nice. And then obviously my niece's bat mitzvah, which was also a wonderful time. So all in all, it was a great trip. It's a great trip to Miami.
So happy for you.
Thank you.
So happy for you.
Yes. Easy flight there, easy flight back. So yeah, no problems. How was your week?
It was great. My kids are on spring break. I spent yesterday getting an axolotl for my 10-year-old, which is a combination between some kind of fish and like salamander. And it's like this thing, like, oh my gosh, it was
From the island of Dr. Moreau, or is it an actual, like...
No, it's, look up axolotl.
Oh, it's a species.
It's like a little, yeah. But it was funny because it started off as he wanted chickens.
Is it an amphibian or is it a land mammal? Like, what is it?
Just Google axolotl. It's hard
to
describe.
You're the one that bought the thing. You brought it into your house. You don't know what it is?
It's like a little fish / like salamander creature. It's kind of a combo.
Okay. I think
kind of a combo.
It's a vertebrate amphibian. That's what I'm thinking it is. Okay. I'll figure it out. I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just Google it and that's all you have to figure out.
I want to figure it out with hints. I want to figure it out with clues.
Okay. Yeah.
What color is it? Is it like a brownish?
No, they have different colors. So we had to go to this, you know, we went on an odyssey to find it. And it has like pink and green and like neon. Oh, wow. And he got the neon one. And then he came in and he was like, mommy. I'm like, what? And I'm just finally like laying down watching like some crime drama that I'm totally into. And I'm like, what? And he just started crying. He's like, I think it's dying. And it's like see-through. So you can see the line that looks like blood, I think, but it was just part of its body. But anyway, it's fine.
Skin translucent? Really? You could see the organs? You could see its organs?
Yes. But it hasn't really been
from a gypsy or something. Is it a real thing?
No, we actually went on an odyssey. We went on odyssey to find it, and he loves this, and it just warms my heart.
Did you buy it like out of the back of a van behind a Long John Silver's? Like, where did you get it?
It ain't hot.
Was it in a store, like a tropical
fish
store?
Yes, it was. I think the store was like Moonlight Eclipse.
It's a
store.
Okay.
It was a store. And he was so happy. It had a little bag, and he loves getting stuff for the tank. Anyway,
cool.
I think he might be dying, but I don't know yet. We're waiting to see. You know, but he's my baby, so like I give him everything. He's 10.
16? He's 10.
Stop. Yes. He's adorable. He's absolutely, this just makes him the happiest in the world. And I love it. So anyway.
All right. Great. Well, let's talk about the episode. It was nice hearing Mr. Fuda again. It's been a while. Yeah. It had been a while. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't know what he was doing with his time now. Cause you know, a lot of, you know, retired law enforcement, they kind of relax, you know, and try to exercise some demons and just live a quiet life, you know, but he's hard, going harder than ever.
Oh man. He is like going hardcore. Yeah. And that's what I love about him. You know, he's like, hey, I want to talk. I mean, he kept tracking me down. I'm like, okay, Jim, let's do it. Let's do this. And I'm so glad that I did, because I think that he really, the work that he does is really important. And it's like putting a finger on a dam. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like it's so overwhelming. I mean, I feel like I get really overwhelmed when I think about human trafficking on the 30,000 foot view. I mean, it's just like, how do you stop it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And especially listening to him just for a half hour or so, that's the question. How do you stop it? Because it seems hopeless, especially given the examples that he was very kind of tragically kind of portraying. You know, like if you're like getting your nails done, that's you've experienced someone who's being trafficked, because that person is not allowed to leave. They don't get the money that they're owed. And you go back 2 weeks later and there'll be a new young girl doing your nails.
Yeah.
I have daughters. I take them to get their nails done, you know, not all the time, but every couple months, I guess. And he's right. There's always new people. What happened to the other girl? Whoa, that's weird. Now I'm going to think about that all the time, you know?
I know.
Massage parlors. You know, I love spas, like, but I don't really like massages, to be honest. I never have. So I don't, you know, it's not really my thing. But there is this one amazing foot massage place near me in LA. And every now and then we go there. And now that's since listening to his thing, I'm thinking about like all of the places where I go, where I might be running into it. And I don't know why I hadn't thought of that before. You think sex trafficking, and I don't even think of, excuse me. I don't even think of like, you know, red light districts in the city, you know, like 7th Avenue used to, you know, in the old days in New York, or SeaTac Strip up in Seattle, you know, you just think, okay, that's just what you don't consider that to be an environment rife with sex trafficking, but according to him, it is. So it just it gives a new perspective on human trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, especially with the organ organ.
Whoa!
Like,
just when you think, you know, that it's like you're watching, like Taken, right? You know, and Liam Neeson's going to come save the day because his daughter doesn't get sex trafficked. It's so much worse than that.
Yeah.
Because what if you're the one chosen for organ harvesting?
I know. And nobody's ever going to
thought of that.
Nobody's ever going to find out about it. I know. I felt like as I was talking to him, I just sounded like so lame. Like, oh my God. And it's like, you know, we're so sheltered here. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like what people actually have to endure, and that, you know, like what he was saying, the price of a life, you know, is different in different places. And we know that, you know, especially after doing the Shadow Girls and just kind of that whole thing. But this is, you know, being taken and then having your organs harvested and nobody knows, and there's no Liam Neeson, there's nobody to come, you know, save you, and you just die and nobody knows, you know, nobody and knows
the
what
useless
happened.
Parts of you, which is the rest of your body, is just discarded in favor of your organs that would then be sold on the black market to the highest bidder, which would be a lot of fucking money for a good, healthy, kidneys and lungs and liver and heart. Are you fucking kidding me? Right? You know what you can get for that? For like some wealthy billion. I mean, the Sultan of Brunei travels with with his heart donor.
I know. Can you imagine
to know the guy?
Can you imagine being the donor? And you know he's like, I'm doing this for my family.
Of
but
course,
still,
for my family who lives on 10 cents a day. But now, you know,
can you imagine actually living, being that person every day?
You would make sure that Sultan is the healthiest motherfucker in the world, right? Watch your diet, sir. Please don't eat that, sir.
I think that the fact that he's carrying this guy around says otherwise.
He's got a complete OR working on his private plane.
Yes.
I did some research into the Sultan of Brunei.
For what?
Because listen to the episode. I just wanted to know a little bit more about
it. I thought you were going to say in another podcast I did.
No. Because, you know, he owns the Beverly Hills Hotel here in Los Angeles. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when the hotel union was striking, whatever, you know, he came kind of into the forefront because of like human rights abuses in the Kingdom of Brunei and all that. But he does, he's got so much money. He's got so much money as an individual. Like there was one year for whatever the holiday, they don't celebrate Christmas, but what it's for a holiday there, he got like every citizen in the country, like a color TV. Mm-hmm. He spent like hundreds of millions of dollars to get everybody a television set, like weird kind of things like that. And that, you know, and then there were stories about when he comes to the hotel and he obviously on his plane, and then he travels with a separate, like 767 empty that flies home with all of the shit that he buys when he goes shopping in Beverly Hills. Yeah. Pretty cool too.
That just disgusts me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think that's cool?
I think that would be fun for a day, you know, to kind of.
I mean, can you imagine? No, I feel like that would be like the worst, where you can literally have.
Yeah, then nothing means anything, right?
Because nothing means like anything. Free. And you free. Have so many people living in abject poverty. And like, yeah. I mean, my brain just doesn't work like that, where it's like,
But let me travel with a guy whose job is to die and give you his organs.
I know. Talk about fucking privilege. I mean, are you kidding me?
Wow. That was insane.
And to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Your life isn't worth, it's only
my
worth
life.
To
right.
pay.
Your life isn't life. Worth, your life isn't worth my life. My life is worth more.
I mean, that's just it. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, it kind of disgusts me, actually, you know?
I have a friend who coaches his twin daughter's baseball team, and he's been doing that since they were really little. Nothing gives him greater joy than being a part of his girls' baseball journey over the years. But these days, kids' sports can get really expensive. So he had a great idea. He launched an online Shopify store to sell gear, merch, and basically, he leveraged his sports knowledge and experience to build relationships with customers. What's cool about Shopify is that they're a place for everyone, an online platform that supports the next generation of entrepreneurs like my friend, but also the world's biggest brands and everyone in between, which means Shopify is helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. You can track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock, which means you can connect with customers in line and online. Shopify also helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. You can also get hardware that fits your business You can take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point of sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mischief. That's M-I-S-C-H-I-E-F, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/mischief to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/mischief.
So I wanted to ask the guy, if I had Feuda on the phone, I would ask him if mail order brides falls under the umbrella of human trafficking.
Yes,
it does.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yep. Fishermen. He said that too. Like, you know, fishing boats where people get, you know, not like deadliest catch, but like these boats that, I guess you get on these boats and you're a slave.
Well, that's called getting shanghaied, old school.
I was just going to say, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we know that. So, but he said mail order bride. Yeah. So you were right. Ding, ding, ding.
Jeez. Well, there goes my marriage. No, I'm kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So this, the organization that he works with, Crime Stoppers, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a very, like, juvenile title, but it works so well.
It really works.
It works so well. What a great business model.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a nonprofit.
Anonymous tips.
Yep.
Anonymous tips to stop crime. You know, that, I mean, God, that falls right into so many people's wheelhouse. Like, man, I wish I could get this asshole arrested or whatever. I said, now you can do it totally anonymously. And
I know.
Yeah. And that must make it a lot harder for the criminals out there, which is great. And then, and it wasn't international for a long time, but it is now. I didn't know that it had gone worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I thought was interesting was just the new generations and how having those P3 tips.
Yes.
And like how people, you know, the younger generation doesn't like to talk on the phone. And that's how we grew up. It's like, you know, and I remember when texting first happened, it's like, why are they texting? I don't get that.
Me too.
You know what I mean?
I didn't understand it. I was on a fishing trip actually in Florida. It was one of the last times I went to Florida. Now I've been before, but this was like 05 or 06. Yeah, 05 or 06. The only thing I remember was Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix had just come out because that's what I read out at sea. Okay, so that's the time frame, whenever that was. And a buddy of mine, like one of my best friends at the time, had one of those massive phones that you wore on your hip that it opened up. It was, you know, with a full keyboard.
Oh, and like with a little leather case thing on the side?
Yeah, like all that. Huge thing that affected how he walked. It was so heavy. But he was constantly, I'm like, what are you typing? Are you like taking notes? Are you, like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm texting with my girl, man. You're texting? Why don't you just call her? Why don't you ask her what she's doing? Why do I have to, you know? And he goes, I don't know. It's what everyone's doing. I'm like, I'm not doing it. And it was years before I started texting. But now I admit it. I text a lot. But kids these days, I mean, sure. However, what Jim was saying was that it doesn't matter the manner in which the tip comes in. It just matters that the tip comes in, you know? Mm-hmm. And so but it was interesting. It created a lot of work for them because they got something like four times as many tips, but only twice as many arrests. So that means they're going through. They have a lot more tips that don't pan out. So I would imagine
that's actually a good ratio. I think that when you think of all the people who call in with useless tips, pointless, you know, two out of four is those are good odds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about all the people with a vendetta, all the people that just want to make trouble for people, like who
are squatting and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like having good tips is like gold. You know?
Have you ever called in an anonymous tip on anybody?
No.
What?
Have you?
Hell yeah.
No way.
I already have today, I think. You know, I've got a lot of enemies, Carolyn. lot of enemies.
You wouldn't.
No, I've never done
this tip on them. You would like totally do something like meet me at school after school.
Backyard right now. What?
Mm-hmm. No. No, well, I don't do that. I don't do that. Like, there's one of my favorite comedians. His name's like Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, he's Maniscalco. He's great.
Oh my gosh, he's coming to Seattle. We're gonna see him. So I'm really excited. But
he's terrific.
He like does this thing, this routine that's so funny about people who go and just do these weird reviews. Like he's like, my wife and I go and we go to a restaurant. Have you seen that one? And he's like, we go and we have salmon and we walk out and we're like, the salmon sucked. And we go home.
To
we
each other. You just tell each other that was bad and just go home.
You just go home. You don't go home and then write a book about how bad it was. And it's like, it's so funny because it's so true. And
that leads to another one of his bits where he's from an Italian family.
Oh God, I love it.
That didn't talk about things. Mm-hmm. Just didn't talk about stuff. He said, I had an uncle who had polio and no one's ever said anything. He said one of his feet was 6 inches shorter than the other. And no one said nothing ever.
Saw that. I loved it. I just love, if you guys haven't watched this guy, you have to watch him. He is so funny. I've watched I love him. And I love his comedy about how his mannerisms. It's not just how funny he is, but how he tells his
very
story.
Physicality is a
very physical, but just like perfect. I'm not even going to try to like do it because I would do it wrong. But we talked about
Uber Italian, just quintessential, and Chicago. He's got the accent, like the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He's terrific.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, but I'm just not the type of person that I don't do that unless there's a reason to do it. Like somebody is, like that kid that I was describing the other day when I said we were at the hardware store and that boss was just awful. And, I would say something then, but the thing is that when you're a good writer, I think that, you could really destroy someone if you wanted to, and I don't take that lightly. You know what I mean?
No, I agreed. Like, it's funny you mentioned it because, although the spa was terrific, the hotel, I couldn't believe it because I worked in hospitality for a number of years. Okay. At a great place, like on the strip, super busy. The owner of the hotel was very hands-on, very specific, very particular, really honest. You always knew where you stood with the owner. And he had very, very high expectations, but he met them himself. Okay, so he could demand it of us. I mean, it really, and I learned a lot.
He was a good boss.
He was a great boss. So when you, in a nice hotel, you usually run into like 5 or 6 employees from the time you pull up until you get into your room, right? From like the valet to the doorman to the front desk to security to the hotel ambassador to like whatever, right? There, and each of them should have a welcome back or a smile or get the door. Can I help you with anything? Directions, restaurant recommendation, whatever. Okay. Hit the elevator button for you at the very least, like whatever. Okay. It's just, that's how hospitality works. Okay. And this hotel was charging rates that would suggest that level of service, but it's the phones. Like, we get out of an Uber and the valet is behind the valet stand and he's scrolling through his phone, doesn't look up, doesn't see us. The doorman is leaning against a column, looking at his phone. So I get the door for my wife and for my kids. Security sitting at the security desk, looking at his phone. Front desk, sitting at the front desk, looking at his phone. No one even looked up and saw us and even registered that we were there. And that happened every single time we came in and left, to the point where I started videoing it and like taking pictures. Because I couldn't believe it was happening. And I'm like, what am I going to do with these? Like, I could send these to corporate, but maybe corporate doesn't give a shit. Because they're obviously comfortable doing it. They obviously know there aren't any reprisals there. And I'm not some putting on airs kind of hotel guy. Like, I, because I was on the other side of it forever, you know?
Yeah.
But even for me, that was, it was embarrassing, an embarrassing level of service. Because
well, you know, I mean, I think that that's why I am like the way that I am with it, because I don't forget. I mean, yeah. I still have waiter dreams sometimes, you know, not very often.
In the weeds. Yes.
In the weeds. Like I've got 20 tables. I mean, that does never fully go away. And so, you know, I just, unless it's something really awful, I just don't, you know, I still tip, you know, the amount.
You know, and you know why? You know why? Because in the old days, an establishment like that would either fix it or they'd go out of business and it would take care of itself, because word of mouth was a very popular thing. It would just take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Right. Because if it happens, like if you go to a restaurant, you hate the salmon, you'll maybe go again. You just won't order the salmon. And if your next dish also sucks, you'll probably never go back there again. And eventually that'll happen to enough people that the restaurant will close or they'll change their menu, you know? So, but now
People have, like, there's just people who have these really super high expectations based on what they see on the internet. And then they go there. And if it's not absolutely perfect, they're totally okay with destroying a person.
Right. And you're not even talking about the bad actors who will do it on purpose.
Exactly. Right? So almost, I just
comp my meal or I'll write you a terrible review on Yelp. Yelp is awful. Yelp is awful because they don't take down blatantly erroneous reviews. They won't even take them down. They'll say, hey, we're all about free speech. Like, oh, really?
Okay. I know. So it's just like, that's why I love bringing it back to Sebastian. I love that. I think that's totally true about like trolls in their basements, you know, writing that he would do this tick of like, these, you've got to, I'm going to send this to you because it's just hilarious, but of just like the type of person that sits in their basement and like feels entitled to ruin people's lives.
Right.
In anonymity. And it's like, who knows what was happening at that restaurant at that time? Like, we
and he goes, who has this kind of time?
Yeah, exactly.
And write something like that.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome.
He's great.
Anyway, I, you know, there was one time and I'll never forget this. I will never forget this. And this is exactly why I don't do it. I was the worst waitress in the world. Like I was working at this high-end restaurant, which for me was high-end at the time, but it was like steak and seafood. And they did the whole lobster thing where you cut off the tail. I was only like 18 years old. I had schmoozed my way in. I'd never opened a bottle of wine in my life. And I mean, it was bad. I went from going in the back of the house and the cooks just thinking I was like the hottest thing in the world to them thinking I was the biggest fucking idiot in the world. And they hated my guts and it just was awful, but I needed the job. I needed the job. And I'd messed up so many times and I was like totally hanging by a thread. And I was in college at the time and it was just like so stressful. And I was walking to the six top and I had this whole big old tray and one of the Dungeness crab legs dropped to the floor. Like, I think I bonked my head on it because it was like, so like I was sweating and there was like, and I had that point where I was like, if I don't pick this off the floor and put it back on this plate, I'm done. But I knew that was wrong to do it. But I was, this is a total like 5 second moment. So I picked it up and put it on the plate.
You eat what's inside of it anyway, right? You eat what's inside.
The guy at the table saw me.
Whoops.
And afterwards, you know, their whole bill got comped. Of course, he just made it like I should be nailed to a cross.
Really?
Yes, it was that bad. And I was already hanging by a thread. And I looked at my boss, and of course he's having the talk with me at the end of the shift. And it was
fired?
I said, just give me one more chance. I promise you that I will, you know, just the whole thing, you know, and he gave me another chance and I became the best waitress there. Oh, like I turned it around, but like it was fucking awful to be in that situation. You know what I mean? So I never forget that. Like, I never forget it.
Wow. You know? Wow. All right. So Feuda's out there doing good work now.
Yes.
So he's not on the board of directors. He answers to the board of directors.
Yes.
Of Crime Stoppers. Because he's not a sit behind the desk guy. He's a get your hands dirty kind of guy.
Definitely. Yeah.
And I found it interesting. What was it? The seven crimes that they kind of focus on?
Transnational crimes that, you know, are not just in country.
But right. They're without borders, really. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And there's a flow to them. And I'm sure it's like impossible to catch, you know. I mean, he's got his work cut out for him, but he's really excited about it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's kind of passion is infectious.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was a great episode. It was great hearing from him again, like I said, and we should find more ways to work him into the show. Definitely.
Yeah.
He was great. Well, listen, we hope you liked not only the Feuda episode, but this episode as well. If you did, head on over to Apple, give us a rate and a review. That would help us out a lot. And please consider supporting the great companies that support our show. Carolyn, anything on tap for next week?
I'll just keep you guessing.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Usually means that I'm in for like a double episode that will confuse me right at the very end of the first
episode. And why is that predictable?
Because right now you're probably thinking, I don't know if I can fit it all into one episode, so I'm not going to say anything yet.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Maybe. We will see. Well, as always, like I said, thank you for listening. Carolyn, anything you'd like to add?
Nope. I'm Carolyn Osorio with the great Brandon Morgan.
Gosh.
The glistening, glowing spa infused.
Yeah, spa fresh, Brandon. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody. Until next time, stay safe out there.
Bye-bye.
From Cloud 10, Criminal Mischief is a Pie in the Sky production, recorded in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. We're produced by Brandon Morgan and myself, music by Soundstripe. I'm Carolyn Osorio, your writer and host.